Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord, Heavenly Father. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your love. For your great love, your majestic love. The one and true love that flows from that one particular Zoe life that comes from your heart, deep within your soul and your spirit, Father, that thou provided a way for us to love you in Christ Jesus, your only begotten Son. And we thank you, Father, because of what he has done for us, Lord, we keep falling in love with him. We know he has not forsaken us, but sometimes, Father, Lord, we just kept drifting away, but he keeps coming and wooing us to go back, to seek rest, O Lord, and strength in him as we walk in this life. And we thank you, Lord, for that spirit of love wooing us back and tugging at our hearts and our spirit, Lord, and we just, oh my, can't help it, Father, but to keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. We thank you, Father, for the well of living waters that thou have given us, for the revelation, for the very truth of life. What more can we do, Father, but to just love him, keep loving him because he first loved us. We want to thank you, Father, for this great love. We come here today, Lord, right now, as we approach thy word again, as we learn, Father, help us to realize this. In all revelation that we receive, in all truth that we receive, Father, paralleled onto the other side of the letter, is that our character, the life that we live, that we need to really live that life for Jesus Christ, because truth will manifest the true life. Whatever we believe is what we are, Father. And if truth be in us, Lord, it will surely, O Lord, bring forth that fruit of Christ Jesus in our life. So, Father, right now we commit all these things to you. Open our ears, open our understanding, the little things that we are learning from time to time. We commit this to you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let's continue with the revelation. And let us just look at the chart. Revelation chapter 18 is what we are looking at today. If we look at the chart, we are all in this area at the time we're studying since the our last group before I went for to the Philippines. That is, we have finished off the seven vows. All right. So we are still in this region trying to complete the understanding of the God's wrath as to the destruction of or the judgment of the great hall, which we have dealt with in Revelation chapter 17. Okay? Now, go to chapter 18 now, and we'll look at it, and we will have to use the chart just to look back and forth as to the why God has to judge this great hall. Alright, great Roman Catholic Church. So right now let's go to chapter 18 of Revelation. Now we finished, we have dealt with Revelation chapter 10. We are living in the period of Revelation chapter 10, so to speak. If you remember what Revelation chapter 10 is about. It's the coming of the Lord, right? The parousia. Alright. And so we are in this period of time. And the reason why we were given the message is that this message called us out of denominationalism. It called us out from Mother Harlot system. You understand? Okay. Mystery Babylon. We are told to get out of that system. We are told to get out of that spirit to come back to the word of the Lord. So that by doing so, we are given this message to prepare ourselves. So that as a brother of Christ, we may actually have spiritual intercourse with our Lord and Savior, so that we will be one with Him in holy wedlock. So that we will be made ready, not as a bride, but as a wife. Do you understand? Okay, there's one thing about being a bride, and there's another thing about being a wife. Now, people say, oh, every time people say we are the bride church, bride of Christ. And you know why? Why don't you call the wife of Christ? Because after all, right now, if we are in holy wedlock in the nuptial chamber of God's holy word, that means to say that we are not in consummation with Him. Making ourselves ready. Do you understand? As the marriage in ancient time could take as a minimum of 7 days to perhaps a month. Depends on how rich the family really is, you know. So, on the average, 7 days is a common thing. Huh? For the wedding to take place, the nuptial, you know, for 7 days, when the feast is going on the outside, the bridegroom will be in the nuptial chamber. And then they come out again, you know, rejoicing with the people in the feasting, and then they go back again. And after 7 days is over, usually the husband says, yes, now you're ready. Let me bring you home to my father's home. And then she is given another robe, another white garment or linen, towards a fine linen, to present her as a bride, as a wife to the father. So right now we want to say that we are just bride of Christ. We want to say that we are the bride wife of Christ. Because right now we're in the holy chamber of God. This is the seventh day, the seventh church age. Is that right? We are in the last age. And we need to make ourselves ready so that, Christ finds us worth it. So that we can hear Him say, oh, the wife, and make ourselves ready now. Okay? Now, in this chapter 18, we see a little more now. Chapter 17, we dealt with the judgment of the great hall. Alright? And, right in this chapter 18, we see a little bit more of the judgment of Paul that sitteth on many water. If you go to chapter 17, verse 1, you find that there. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven bowls and talked with me, saying, say unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great hall that sitteth upon many waters. Okay, now chapter 18 is a continuation, as a little bit more of that. Okay, now, in Revelation chapter 14, if you go to Revelation chapter 14, we see that 144,000 actually preach a message. In Revelation chapter 14, verse 6 to 8, it says, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. Worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the mount and the fountains of water. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, all these, as I said, you know, this is chapter 14. Then we see in chapter 17. Then we see in chapter 18. Now remember one thing, you read in chapter 14, you understand it's only a precursor of what is going to happen. Okay? So they are not sequential, the event. You must understand that. Now we also realize that at this period of time, there's a great tribulation here. Alright? Now we know and understand, if you remember, if you still recall, in the midst of the 70th week of Daniel, the Antichrist break the covenant. You understand? When he break the covenant, it's because he is incarnated by Satan. So he became one with Satan. So Satan incarnate in him. And that's why he break the covenant and he sit in the temple of Jerusalem and call himself God. He did away with the sacrifices and the evening oblation. Alright, which the Jew had the privilege at that time. So he did away, he broke the covenant, stopped everything, and he went on the rampage of war pattern, you know, sort of a flood war or killing against all those Jews, the faithful Jews, and all those foolish virgins that are there. Anyone who identified themselves with Israel, identified themselves with the Bible, and would not identify themselves with the mother harlot, they are
being sought out and appealed. You understand? So this is a period of the 2.5 years when the 144,000 that we know, 12,000 of each tribe, who have already been sealed by the two witnesses' ministration of the word, okay? The 144,000 are sealed by God with the revelation of God in their forehead. So that when the Antichrist break the, covenant, the 144,000 will follow the nation of Israel, the woman Israel, wherever she goes, in whichever part of the world, of the earth, that opens up to receive her, any part, whatever nation it may be. The 144,000 will move along with these different groups. You understand? And minister to them. And wherever they go, they will preach the gospel. Alright? They will declare the truth all over the world. And the world, the people of the world will hear what they will have to proclaim. Alright, now in this 2.5 year period, there is no such thing as the Holy Spirit being given to anyone. Okay? The born again experience is right at this time, okay, before the rapture takes place. Once the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit is no longer given to the Gentiles. You understand? God began to work with the Jew. Alright? So that's why 144,000 were given this everlasting gospel. Now, this everlasting gospel here is not a gospel preached by Ewan Frank. There are a lot of claims that he, I don't know whether he claims that or not. I never find out whether he claimed that he was the one preaching this everlasting gospel, or was the follower who claimed that. Okay? You understand that? Now, the 144,000 will proclaim this gospel that they are saying to fear God. That's one thing. The first thing, fear God, give glory to God, and then worship God. That's all that they have to do. Do you understand that? Alright? And then the next part of the verse in Revelation 14, verse 8, it says that then it proclaimed, and an angel proclaimed right now that Babylon is fallen. The great city, because it make all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Babylon will fall at the end of the great tribulation, when the vow of God is poured out. Okay? And when the fifth vow is poured out, that's when the Roman Catholic Church will be destroyed by the ten horned nation, which we read in chapter 17, verse 16. Alright. So far you understand that. So for those who worship God and fear God and give glory to God during this great tribulation, and if they will, if this Antichrist spirit goes out of throughout Jerusalem, Middle East, throughout the world, Europe, America, whatever country, there will be his agent will go out. I mean, we call his soldiers. You know that the Jesuit people, those team of Jesuit, they are the inquisitor, huh? They are the one that were actually we would call them like a CIA or FBI agent, men in black. They will seek it out and then they will torture a person. That sort of thing, Germany's Gestapo, the SS type people, You see, and that's what they will do. But when the Pope do this and he's controlling the world, you understand, extreme Catholic will believe that born a Catholic, die a Catholic, they will be also going out to, being terrorists, seeking out all those that will not bow down to the image of the beast, alright, and have them destroyed. Okay, so right then we realize the fall of Babylon is when God began to pour out his wrath at the end of 70th week of Daniel, and that's when Babylon will be destroyed. Now we go to chapter 18 now, and continue from there, more of the description about this destruction. Alright, because we want to follow this all the way through the book of Revelation till we come to Revelation 23. Then we will stop right there because we don't know what's there. Alright, now we read verse 1. Chapter 18, verse 1. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Now, sometime when people read the Bible, they say, another angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. they were trying to figure out whether this is Christ symbolized by the angel, like we read in Revelation chapter 10. A mighty angel came down. But what we read in Revelation chapter 10, there is a description as to who this angel really is. But here, there's nothing. It just shows that this is an angel that was given greater authority. And we know that there are different ranks in angel. So far, only we understand. Not like what somebody, theologian is trying to teach, that there are four different levels, or five different levels. Okay? But actually, from what we see in the Bible, it appears only to be two levels of angel. Angels and archangels. Now, so what about the seraphim? What about the cherubim? Now, those are words that describe. You know, it just only just describe about, the position, the way that they were seen. Six wings, four wings, or just a pair of wings. You know, and as I said, these angels don't have wings. So, when you look at all this about wings and all this, just talk about speed. And just that there are angels that flies around the throne of God and say, holy, 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 unto the Lord. Come on, say, holy, holy. And they have six wings. You know, you understand, huh? Two to cover their feet, two to cover their what? Two to cover their, I think, the face, and then two to fly, you know. So, it's just a description. Do you understand? So, it is not that they have wings. And I don't believe you go to heaven that you see an angel flying around God's throne and say, holy, 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 unto the Lord, you can't fly like this. I mean, that's going to be awesome. Because if you don't believe that it's in the Bible, I say, I know it's in the Bible, that, but you must know biblical language. Huh? And I don't believe that God created angels to fly around His throne. And he sits there, you know, He sits there and He hears all these angels say, holy, 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 unto the Lord, holy, holy, unto the Lord. And something is really wrong. Do you understand? This is just a vision that was shown to John. Okay, so vision can come to you in many forms. Do you understand that? Huh? That's why sometimes, as the Bible said, as Paul said, do not forget to entertain strangers. For many have entertained angels unaware. An angel can come in a human form. Is that right? Do you understand? As a way, somebody knocking at the door, you know, when you open the door and you see this dirty old man, you know, asking for something. And you look at him, so dirty, go away! And you don't even know that it might be an angel of the Lord testing you. You know, you understand that, you see? So that's why, when you read the Bible, don't take it just as if you read it all the time. Okay, and verse 2, and he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitations of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cave of every unclean and hateful birds. Here again you see the word here, cried mightily with a strong voice, as if that, you're going back to the mighty angel over in Revelation 10, it is not. Don't look at that way. Alright? Now, we want to, since the Bible here said in verse 2, Babylon the great is fallen. Now, we read this statement pretty often. 14, 17, and here. Babylon the great is fallen. Okay. God just want to make us to realize that he is seriously going to destroy this Babylon. And by repeating certain phrases often, you strengthen the case. That Jesus said, very, very, I say unto you. Right? Of course, some brother might say, but Jesus is stuttering. Very, 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 I say unto you, you know. You understand? They're trying to make Brother Abraham's every word is the word of God. And Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus Christ stumbled. Very, 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 I say unto you. Now, that's it. Very, very means that truly, truly I say unto you, take heed. He did not say, I say unto you, but he said, very, very, I say unto you. Or when something is said, but I say unto you, he make a point, you understand. So, I can tell you one thing, if you don't have a revelation, and just like these Branhamite people, they're so fanatic, they come up with all kinds of, trying to make sure that you believe the Brother Ben was the real prophet. He's the absolute, make no mistake faith. You know, they try to find some explanation. You don't need to, I don't have to defend Brother Branham. Alright? The truth will defend itself. Okay? So right now, this repetition is to enforce the case, make it stronger, truly that God is going to destroy Babylon. Now I want you to consider by looking at Babylon there. You know, this is Mystery Babylon. Mystery Babylon is religious. We know it represents the Catholic Church, right? And his sister. Mystery Babylon is the mother of harlot. And now, when we look into ancient Babylon, the reason why is it called Mystery Babylon? Mystery Babylon, the Greek. Why did God use this term? Now, if you go back to ancient Babylon, now you know that ancient Babylon is one of the most powerful, most beautiful, and in fact, the city has a hanging garden. You all know that, don't you? The hanging garden of Babylon. It's so beautiful. The wall is so high and so thick, and it is really very beautiful. You know, to discover. And it is in that mystery, in that Babylon, ancient city of Babylon, they have all kinds of worship. What did they worship? They worship the sun, the heavenly stars, they worship all kinds of objects, they worship the wind, water, they have all this. Just like today, the Shunish, the paganism. What do the paganists worship? Pagan people worship? They worship the sun, the moon too, huh? You know, they have kitchen god. Am I not right? Sure. You see. And that's all, and they practice astrology. And in Babylon, there's a lot of, you know, in the texts, the ancient texts and discovery, they found that they actually have people that study astrology and it became something like a mystical religion itself. And like today, what do we have today in astrology? Huh? Feng Shui. Okay? And what about the almanac when you look at your, when you're born and all these things and what your life's supposed to be? You know, your Chinese zodiac, if you are born a serpent, nobody wants you. Especially if you are female. Or if you are a tiger, no man wants to marry you because you are tigress. You know, that kind of a thing. So they worship all these sort of things. They have all these ideas and rituals that they believe in. And that's why it comes from there. And what a very strong place it comes from there. And you know, and I know that Babylon is one, it's in fact far glorious than any other empire that actually ever exist. You know, it could have been very great if it wasn't for the pride of the king. You know. Okay? So ancient Babylon, you compare that to religious Babylon. Ancient Babylon has such a big castle, such a beautiful city, well strengthened, like it is impregnable. You know? And they are so sure that they would not. It would stand forever. But you and I know, let's go to the book of Isaiah. Chapter 13. And see what the Bible prophesied back then in the days of this king of Babylon at that time when God decided to also destroy it. Exodus 13, verse 19. Sorry, Isaiah. What am I talking? Isaiah chapter 13, verse 19. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms. You see, the glory of kingdoms. The beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherd make their fold there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and their houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the island shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their present palaces, and their time is near to come, and her days shall not be prolonged. Now this is a prophecy of Isaiah, and later on we see in the days of Daniel. And you know, regarding the prophecy concerning Babylon, and that was given to Isaiah way ahead. And it is true that once Babylon was destroyed, it was destroyed like what? Like Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Sodom and Gomorrah, if you go to that place today, it doesn't exist anymore. Huh? is the same. It's a seaport, but it doesn't exist there anymore. It will never rise again. Never. And then the same thing with Babylon. And do you know that Saddam Hussein, when he, you know, went and dig, he wanted to bring back that the city of Babylon. It was never done. You can't. It's going to be left desolate, that place. The city, nobody will dwell in it. The city will never. There are some walls that remain there and there, here and there, broken down, but you cannot bring that up. Nobody going to live there anymore. You see? And that's why, by reading Bible, you know that the Bible prophecy will tell you what is true. And you know that it's fulfilled. You know that the Bible cannot be written of man. It is of God. Okay? So now, it was fallen. So the same thing, it will be just like Mr. Babylon. When it will fall, what will happen to that place? It becomes completely desolate. It will never rise again. Mr. Babylon will never rise again. And as the verse 2 said, he said what? He said, it becomes the habitation of devils and hold of every foul spirit, cage of unclean and hateful birds. When a place is desolate, you know, all kinds of birds are there, owls are there, strange creatures will be running around there in that place. It becomes wild. A desert-like place. Okay? Verse 3. So, you know, when we look at this, when we look at the natural setting or description about Babylon, when it was destroyed, you get one animal goes there, funny creature lives there, birds, strange bird go there, and exactly what it is described in the book of Revelation concerning Mystery Babylon. It is a cage of unclean birds too. That's right. Is it? And what do they actually have, even today, right now? Cage of unclean bird and every foul spirit. What do they have? False doctrines? Huh? Isn't it right? Foul spirit. False spirit. False teaching. False truth. I mean, lies. Falsehood. Creeds and dogma is all that they have. And when he said cage of unclean birds, now just think about a cage. When you have a bird in a cage, what does it mean to the bird? To the bird, it's a prisoner. Has no freedom. But you have a cage of unclean birds, different kinds of birds in there. But you don't find an owl in there. I mean, you don't find an eagle in there. You will definitely not find a dove in there. Only unclean birds will come together in an area, and they are caged up. So think about the imagery that God is giving it to you. What do you have today in Mystery Babylon? It's bringing all these different birds and denominations, right? Different denominations it comes in. Hey, you know and I know that eagles do not eat dead animals that are already, you know, brought it up, and you know, only vultures eat that. Eagle will always eat fresh food. Do you understand that? It's true. What about the dove? Dove is a clean animal, a clean bird. You see, right? Yeah. No, not a miner. Miner eat rubbish too. You know, miner would go to a rubbish dump and pick up anything. Crow, raven, you know, I don't know what other birds you can think of, you see. But God has given us the grace to come out of her and come into the truth. Verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacy. Nations of the world, the nations have drunk of the wine, the wrath of her fornication. You know, the Catholic Church is a very powerful institution. Powerful, I would say, organization. You know, everywhere the Pope will go, and if the country will receive the Pope, they will have a dialogue, discussion. You know what they're discussing. It's all politics, you know. It's not about religion, huh? It's all about politics, and there's a lot of trap. You know, you understand, even when two leaders come together of the world, political leaders going to come together, they discuss, you know, you do this, don't do this, or don't this sort of thing. Same thing when a Pope comes, he's a big old man, you know. So he can say no, he can say, you must do this, and, you know, that sort of thing. That's why the power of the Catholic Church. The wrath of a fornication, you will have to partake of her fornication. Oh, what is fornication? You take, for example, right now, I'm talking about hustlers. I'm not talking about just prostitutes out in the streets or in the red light district. You walk in the street, here comes somebody out there to hustle you. Alright. Yeah, that's very common, you know. Even now in Singapore, you get all those foreigners coming. You know, I was a couple of years ago, I was walking down Orchard Road in the evening. I think it was about 6 o'clock, or someone was about to set. And here came this lady in Singapore. I was shocked. You know, near the Thai embassy. You know where Thai embassy right is? You know, and she came up to me and, you know, you want a date? I said, what? This is Singapore. And right now in Orchard Road, they're hustling people. And I thought, you shouldn't be doing this, it's against the law. You know, and she couldn't move to it. So anytime a woman come up to you, man, just say, hey, you should not be doing this, it's against the law. I call the police. You know, it is hustling. So it seems that the character is hustling. Want to prostitute with this political leader and anyone. You know what I mean? You understand?
Yes.
You know. And that's what it is. You scratch my back, I scratch yours, you get paid. I'll support you in this, I'll support you for that cause. Do you know about those missionaries in Africa war, trouble war? Do you know who paid them? Huh? Many of them were paid by the Catholic Church to go fight. Oh, yes. That's not what the Bible says on it. But you know what? A lot of people have politics. Close one eye, open the others, and things like that. But the Bible gives us the answer to warn us against, to take note. The world that we're living in. And alright? Okay. Now, and here he says, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of a delicacy. Ah, what's a delicacy? not cream pie, eh? Not black forest that melts in your mouth, forest cakes or whatever, you know, you find that you sell in the delicacy shop. No. It's not something that you get it from Daily France. Huh? You understand? What is it, this delicacy? It's all about the indulgence. Oh, how come indulgence is so tasty? Because after all, if you commit a sin, buy an indulgence. Correct? And everything will be okay. Yes? Another delicacy. Oh, I just say Hail Mary 5 times. Correct? And maybe a small mass and give some money. And all your sins are gone. Got it? You see, all this tradition, all these things that the Catholic Church cook up are delicacy. Now who are these merchants? The merchants are rich. Are what's rich through the abundance of the delicacy? Are the merchants here? Are they what? Are the priests? They're the merchants, isn't it? Selling what? What did the merchants sell you? Remember we read over in the book of Matthew 25? The foolish one went to buy oil, right? Buy oil from who? The oil merchant. Who are the oil merchant? The preacher. So who are these merchants? Huh? And the merchants of the earth are white rich. Not the merchant that out there in this retail shop. A wholesaler. These are the priests. They're wax rich. Hmm? Do you know how rich the priests are? You know, you just see them what they have. When you are just blind by the religion, you want some way of escape or purgatory. Just buy a piece of cake. Buy a piece of cake. And you eat it, and it's fine. It feels sweet to your mouth, right? everything is solved. But who's get richer? Who get rich? And it is the priest. Okay? Alright, verse 4. No wonder, you know, that's the reason why she's called a mother of harlots, prostitute. The prostitute, eh? All this false teaching that comes up. That's why she deserved God's wrath. Alright, now here is God's warning. Verse 4 and 5. And I heard another voice in heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partaker of her sin, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sin have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquity. Her iniquities. God hath remembered her iniquities. All God will always remember. God will always remember her iniquities, not your iniquities. For whatever you have done is, you're already buried under this, the blood of Jesus Christ. Is that a song? Once it's under the blood of Jesus Christ, God don't take it up. It's not only buried there, but God also put it under the sea of forgetfulness. You'll never remember. That's the reason why you're sitting coming up, stand before the Lord and say, accused. Hey, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did that. You know, God says, I don't know that. Did she do it? Did she do it? Did he do it? You know, I don't see it because the blood is there. The blood covers it all. But Mr. Babylon's iniquity will always be remembered because there's no blood covering it. That's why God will always remember her iniquities. But why do these Protestant? I mean, I'm talking about Protestant as the Protestant churches. Why are they not listening to it? Because why? They are really part and parcel, almost being, you know, in this same system. How can you ever know it until you first come out of her? And you know, when you say, come out of her, people, a lot of people say, no, we are not Catholic. You're not Catholic. But do you know that your system, that you are in a part of the Catholic system? A lot of people don't seem to realize. Like today, those who go through this Examines of God Church, they don't realize that they actually are a member of the World Council Church. Many of them probably don't know. They're ignorant. Now who is to be blamed? I mean, it's one thing if you really are ignorant because you're old, you don't know, don't do research because you're old, because you know. I mean, there are a lot of old folks to go to church that they probably do not know even how to read. But in fact, today's old folk like me, Sister Aggie, I mean, can read the Bible. And they say that there are a lot of those that are not educated. So, they don't know how to read, they don't know where to look for truth. They just go to church and believe what Jesus can. That's one thing. How God deal with that? By every one of us, it is our own duty to save God what we have. That it is our duty to find out the truth when we hear something. Or don't just ignore it. Do you know how easy it is for us to bury our head in the sand? Ever try to talk to somebody about water baptism in Jesus' name? It's all the same, lad. It's all the same. You know what I mean? Why would spirit hair over this doctrine? You know, they just brush it away. And like the archer put his head in the sand. I see no evil, I see no, hear no evil, nothing. But his big back body is all sticking on the sand, not realizing how God is looking at it. All you want is to slap the back and then let the head be in the sand. Think about the way that some people behave. So what about our attitude when it comes to truth? And remember, it's only truth that sets you free. Huh? Okay? So now, and of course, in the book of Jeremiah 51, let us look at it. Jeremiah 51, verse 6 to 9. Free out of the midst of Babylon, and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity, for this is the time of the Lord's vengeance. He will render unto her a recompense. Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand, that make all the earth drunken. The heavens have drunken, the nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. And I agree, that's so true. What a description. Babylon is suddenly fallen. Suddenly fallen. Yeah, I use the word suddenly. But it's fallen, it's fallen, suddenly fallen. And that's why in that particular instant time, a moment of time when the 10 nations, or the 10 whole nations, would turn against her and devour her in one instant. Just that quick. Therefore, the nations of Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. How for her? Take balms for her pain. If so be she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone into his own country, for her judgment reach unto heaven and is lifted up even to the sky. Oh my, it's gone up so high. Huh? Just think about it. In ancient time, ancient Babylon, the king refused to take heed. Warning was given. They wouldn't take heed. They think that the city is so strong, well fortified, impregnable, and it will last forever. A lot of people think that it lasts forever. A lot of people think that the kingdom can last forever. There's no kingdom on earth that lasts forever. You know that. And nothing in your life lasts forever. Don't think that you want to hoard a lot of gold, it will last forever. It won't last forever. So, it has the word here of Jeremiah saying in that day, in the day of this the nation, the empire of Nebuchadnezzar, God's going to destroy. But this warning is going out, and the people are supposed to cry for it and say, why don't you save yourself? But they won't take it. So the same thing you try to tell a lot of religious people in Christianity about the truth. They won't listen to you. You tell them that you are, your church is part and parcel of the World Council of Churches and under that image of the beast. They won't take it. They think it's not that serious at all. Alright? So now, no matter what, when you fellowship, now, I just said is, we can fellowship with anyone. When we say fellowship, we can sit down and talk and discuss about the word. Okay? But we cannot identify with them. You get it? I cannot identify with the Baptist church. I can't. I cannot identify with the Pentecostal church. I can't. You get it? But I can fellowship with the Pentecostal Christian or Baptist Christian over the word of God. Over the word of God. Because we're going to eat the word of God. I'm not going to eat what she prepared, what she served. But so anybody who share in this mystery of Babylon's religion and tradition, they are part and parcel of the whole thing. Huh? Even the plague of God is going to pour out upon everyone who is involved in that. Take for example now, we say, what are they eating? What have these people been sharing with that comes from Mr. Babylon? What about this? I mean, your Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Trinitarian doctrine. It's not a good example. Right? Sure. It's not a good example of that. The Godhead doctrine. It's not a good example of that. You see? And what about the way they conduct the communion and things like that? Why people are just so taken up with tradition and give no heed to the importance of God's word? Now, you're supposed to be Christian. You're supposed to be Christian. Right? So, it's important, therefore, that we should take it. If not, we will also suffer the plague that God is going to pour out. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 to 18. Wherefore, come out her from among them. Come out from among them and be separate from the Lord and touch not the unclean thing. And I will reserve it. I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my son and daughter, said the Lord mighty. 2 Corinthians 6, 17, 18. Come out. Therefore, come out from among these people and be separate. That's why he asked me to be here. To join hand in hand with it. Brother Mike, oh no, I can't. You know. I cannot partake of all that, oh, unclean thing. Right? It's serious. And all what they believe in is serious. You know. I always was discussing brother. Talking about now is a study of the self. You know, we know certain character. We know certain preacher in Africa. They will entertain all kinds of preachers. All kinds of preachers. You know why? They want to be popular. We did from America, we just like Canada, we're from Australia, from Europe. Knowing that these people do not represent the truth, they don't have the truth to preach. And you know what? They don't realize that they are actually partaking of all this unclean thing. Yes, to me it is unclean. When you say Brother Branham is absolute, that's unclean. Is it not true? Yes. So we need to stay away from. Even what I heard right now, also in the Philippines, some churches are working out. And they are running away from, they are suffering themselves from all that, you know, so-called angelic teaching. And I say this, and I always say this, if a manifestation, it's true, if a manifestation is from God, it will bring about unity. Bring oneness of mind among the people. It will not bring forth confusion. And another thing, I want to say this. Whenever you have a special signs and manifestation in your life, especially certain gift, don't get your head so swelled up. You understand? Maintain the size of the head, always the same size. Don't let it swell up. You know when it does, you know what it happened? What happened? You know you will have all kinds of fantasy. You will say, for a lot of things, they are not there, and you make it there. And that's why this thing comes. And that's why we have people like television evangelists in America. The Benny Hinn and Kevin Hogan and Bob Brown and all the so different kinds. Huh? And they will support each other when somebody came out with this holy laughter. Where did it come from? Holy laughter! Don't want you to laugh! And what happened? Kenneth Hagin was drawn into it. What? He was drawn into it too and he laughed. You have seen it. Something is wrong. Because they are charismatic. Although they are not Pentecostal, they are charismatic. And charismatic will support charismatic because in charismaticism is the word charisma. Huh? Charismata, the gift. So, the gift of laughter, what is it in the Bible? So they come up with the gift of crying, the gift of laughter, you know? The gift of going on four legs and howling like a dog, you know that? You saw it? On the YouTube? Huh? And people come up with all kinds of funny behavior and they say, it's of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made me do this. What? So that's why I couldn't believe it's the one that the man that act like a dog and then has a leash on him and somebody is leaving. What? And the lady said the God want her to howl like a werewolf or wolf or something. And she said she don't feel wanting to do it, but she thought if they don't do it, she don't get the blessing. So she do woo. My. Meow like a cat. Huh? Or behave like a monkey. Do one. I couldn't believe all that thing. But you know one thing, there's a thing about the Bible warn us about this. It tells us, believe not every spirit. And tells us whether it be of God. God won't want you to act silly. You know what I mean? Yeah, you can be funny, monk, have a fun time and jokes and all this. But don't bring things, all this foolishness, and say it is of God. You're making the word of God mockery, huh? And you'll be judged for what you do. Yes. It's very, very serious, you know. Okay? All right. Verse 6, 7. Reward her even as she rewarded you and double her unto her double according to her word. In the cup which she has filled up to her double. Oh my. You know, double, I mean, it's overflowing. Twice, you know. Because God says, you know, if you give out, you know, press down, you know, in the book of Malachi, you know, believe God and he will even repay back to you with all that which you're giving, he press it down tighter. You know, just like a bucket of sawdust. If you just scoop it, it's just a bucket of sawdust. But if you give that to the Lord, then God will give you not just same bucket, but he'll press the sawdust down and put more and press it down. That's what he means by double. You see. And God is going to reward her double. How much she has glorified herself and lived deliciously. Wow. And the king. You look at Vatican City, huh? That's opaque structure. Wow. You ever think that looks like it's what happened when you go to heaven? That's what you see. So much torment. How much she has glorified herself, lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For said in her heart, I see the queen, no widow, and shall see no sorrow. That's what Babylon, ancient Babylon is the same. We are strong, impregnable, we are well fortified, we last forever. So she believed that she sees the queen and no widow. What a horror, man. How evil, what kind of evil that is. So a lot of pride, huh? She was. And she is because she's a queen, actually. That is true. She controls the world practically almost, huh? In every country. She really controls the money. And when the business leader comes in Europe, she's going to control the currency there too. Okay, let us go to the book of Isaiah 47 and 7 to 10. She lived up to her boastful claim. I see what happened in the end. Isaiah 47, verse 7 to 10. And thou sayest, I shall be a lady forever. That's ancient Babylon saying. So that thou did not lay these things to thy heart, neither did remember let the end of it. Therefore, hear now this. Thou that art given to pleasure, they dwell carelessly, they say in thy heart, I am and none else beside me, there is no one like me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children, the widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorcery and for the great abundance of thy enchantment. For thou hast trust in thy wickedness. Thou hast said, none sees me, thy wisdom and thy knowledge, it have perverted thee. And thou hast said in thy heart, I am, and there is none like me, none beside me. Yeah, yeah. That's what ancient Babylon is, and it just reading this, is it not parallel to religious Babylon? Is it not so? Correct. Is it not the same exactly? What is ancient Babylon in the political side of it? The same is mystery Babylon in the religious side. I'm no widow. I said, I'm a queen. I'm no widow. That's true. But in one moment, you will be a widow. All your children will become. Who are the children? Those that, what you call, my son. You know what they call the priest or father, right? They call the Pope Holy Father, right? Yeah. In one moment, you will be a widow. All your children will be gone. Your sick pleasure. That's true. Your pride and your sorcery. I don't know, what kind of sorcery it is? Take the cup, hocus pocus. He became what? The blood of Jesus Christ. And then right? You know that, don't you? They take a piece of wafer, hocus pocus. He became the body of Christ. You're not supposed to bite it, you're supposed to swallow it. You see all the magic things. It's just like in a movie that you see on television once upon a time. Or the series of magical power. Some people like fantasy, huh? You like fantasy, don't you? A lot of people say, you only have this magic, this power and all that thing. That's that, That actually happening today at the Catholic Church. And you see that. But in one moment, I'm going to say, I'm going to destroy it. Just like ancient Babylon. That is being said here. Okay? Alright. Verse 8. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day. In one moment of time. Death, mourning, and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judged her. Let's go to the book of Daniel chapter 5, verse 25. See what happened in ancient Babylon, and you understand here. Ancient Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, okay. Here what we have, the language, over in the book of Daniel, when they have a big feast going on, and there appear a writing on the wall. Chapter 5, verse 25. And this is the writing that was written many, many Toko Ufasu. Oh. Meaning. You are weighed in the balance. You are weighed in the balance. Toko. You are found wanting. For us, that's a divide. That's only for, because when Medo Persian came down, they were divided. The kingdom was divided. But of course, two mystical laws is many, many toko. Yes, you are found in the balance and are found wanting. Just imagine this warning given out in those days. And yet, we see, that is going to happen. Revelation 17, 16 to 17. There we see that vow being poured out. And it says, the ten horn which thou sawest upon the beast, beast shall hit the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh. Burn her with fire, for God hath put in their heart to fulfill his will, to agree to give the kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Burn with fire. And I think the only way that the ten horn nation is going to destroy Vatican is to put a bomb in there. Throw a missile, whatever, you know. Put out the whole city. Wow. Alright. We also want to look at Leviticus 21. Verse 9. You know, when God do a certain thing, it is always according to the law. And it's always He will judge, He will mete out judgment accordingly. Alright, Leviticus 21. Verse 9. And the daughter of any priest, if she profane herself by playing the harp, she profaned her father. She shall be burned with fire. See? So just imagine the day when if I'm a priest of that time, if I have a daughter who played the harlot, she'd be burned in fire. So the Mr. Babylon is supposed to be a religious thing, right? He's a priest. So she commit harlot, so burned with fire. So the whole of that system is going down in the fire. Verse 9 and 10, now in Revelation 18. The kings of the east and the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning. Why? Oh, you're also so afraid. Because something is happening here supernaturally now. Things are developing, so it's, you know, they have seen what's taken place in the Middle East, when the two prophets came along, then the Pope became the great Antichrist, control the world, give orders, command, going out there to get rid of all those hooligans who are the Christians, who are Jews, or those who will not bow down to the systems and to the image. But now all of a sudden, she's gone. They will be afraid too. What's happening? Because remember, this woman, she is riding on the beast with 10 horns. Is that right? Yes. And all this time she was riding for all this, wow, good number of 3.5 years. And all of a sudden she was destroyed by the very beast that she is riding. So the nation is wondering what's happening. Well, let's go on to read now verse 11 onwards. And the merchants of the earth shall weep, mourn over her, for no man buy their merchandise anymore. Of course, who is going to buy? How many of your system is already gone? You think there's still there are Catholic people that are still going to see the priest? Huh? Would you go and buy an delicacy from them? No, what happened to the power? They're supposed to be the kingdom of God on earth. You understand that? Yes. The Antichrist is supposed to be God on earth. And all her merchant that sells all those delicacies, yes, people will buy because he is there, but now the whole system is gone. Can you go back and support the system when he's no longer there? Nobody. So the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buy their merchandise anymore. The merchants of gold, silver, precious stones and of pearls, fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, tying wood, all manners of vessels of ivory, all manners of vessels of very precious stone, wood and brass and iron and marble, cinnamon, all those ornaments and frankincense, wine and oil and fine flour and wheat, bees and sheep, horses and chariots, slaves and souls of men, truly enough. That's, they look all kinds of treaty. Religiously as well as materially, alright? But the most important thing is the souls of men, of course. The way that they go about doing things today. You know, in many countries, that are under the influence of the Catholic system, just like the Philippines, for example, or Nicaragua, it's just so much corruption in the politics, in the government. Huh? Right? You say. They are even corrupt priests that deals in drugs with the government. There's a lot of things going on. And guess what is described here? When that system is gone, what is going to happen? Alright, the fruits of thy soul lust after are departed from thee. All that which you lust for is gone. And all things that were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find no more at all. The merchants of this thing which are make rich by her shall stand afar off for fear of a torment, weeping and wailing. Sure. Whether they are just the priests or those that are involved in the corruption, in selling and buying with them, they too are afraid. They weep because there is nothing gone. I mean, they can't do any more trade. All their wealth will no longer be there. They say, alas, alas, the great city that was clothed in fine linen, purple and scarlet, that with gold and precious stone and pearl, for in 1 hour so great riches is come to nothing. And every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors, as many as trade by sea, stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of a burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their head and weeping, crying, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, the great city wherein will make rich all that has shipped in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour is she made desolate. Wow. Watch it. Let's think a while. You know, I still find that the Catholic Church, you know, the system that they have out there, that they put it on humankind, mankind, in every country that they have a big hold on. The country actually, the people are living in poverty, many countries are living in poverty and superstition. And yet, they keep on drawing money from these poor people to their coffer in Vatican City. Right? All because they are selling delicacy, giving the people false assurance that their sins are forgiven, that they have a place in heaven, because after all, they have the power to pray them out of purgatory or to pray to some saints. False saints. You know. It's sad. And you know what? When I think about all this, I find myself very privileged. That God would show me His grace. You know? When I see what's going on in Japan, like the Shintoism, You know, they worship all these sort of things, you know, the superstition that lies in them. You go to India, you see all this Hinduism, and you see all the temple, hideous. To me, that's hideous. You know, voluptuous statue of a woman and a man, and even engaging in sex, and the serpent, and a cow, and the elephant, and the peacock. And the priests, the way they dress, and all the beard and all that, looks very uncouth. Certainly heaven is not like that, where people walk around all in, But the more that I think of it, you know, even if it was not for God's grace, that He gave it to me, maybe I would not be like that, but I'm still lost in the sins in the world, of the world. Not knowing God, not knowing where I am. Just I was given a link, that was last week. It's about this singer who wanted to commit suicide. Yes. He said, the power of music, he was talking about the power of music. He was a young boy, you know, he had a lot of freedom, and he had what he wanted. And he went to music, you know, and then he came along with a lot of musicians, a lot of well-known musicians today. He said, but many of these musicians, they died now. He says, what happened to them? They're gone. And many times he got voice trying to tell him to put a gun to the head and blow himself off. Because he doesn't believe in God. Because musicians, a lot of them, they took drugs. He took drugs too. Because the power of music. What kind of music are you listening to? The kind of the Beatles play, huh? Or the one that Elvis Presley kind of rock, that stuff. They involve in alcoholism. I mean, alcoholic and drugs taking. Bye. And then you begin to think about, oh, where we came from, a monkey and stuff like that, we came from a tadpole. You know. But then the man, the more he thinks, he realized that he has brain to think. You know. The animals don't think. They live by instinct. Huh? Correct? You see, a dog is intelligent, you can teach him tricks and all that thing, because you force him to do that. Otherwise, you think the dog would do that? Isn't it? You do this, I give you a treat. That's what you do to a dog. That's how you train the dog. Is it alright? Yeah. But a man has a brain that can think. And then you begin to examine how many billions of these neurons and cells up there that are wired up and you can think this thing, that thing, all sorts of things. Then he realized. Then he said, Lord, if you are real, show yourself. When he prayed that moment, there was a door knock, somebody came. He does not talk about that. That's when he found Christ. God will always answer a prayer who is desperate. You pray for it, God show yourself to me. You will. In a way that you don't expect it. You pray that night, you may be on the roadside, you pray, somebody pass by, and he'll be the answer to your need. And that's God sent. Don't expect God to appear to you. I am the Lord. No. He comes in mysterious way. God performed mysteriously. Is that right? And then you realize what miracle really is. You know. So, well, when you look at this, that's the destruction of Babylon. Okay, let us continue. We all know that religion is very much commercialized today. It's all about money. Isn't it so? Huh? Alright, verse 20. You know, how did this popish kingdom, how did this character get so rich? How did he get so rich? Because of their selling this delicacy. Like we have in the book of Revelation chapter 6, verse 6. A measure of wheat for a penny and a measure of barley for a penny. That's when it was in the dark age, huh? Remember? Yes. You know one thing? The Bible said in the book of Hosea, oh, come and buy, drink, huh? Food, milk, and water, honey, all free of charge, huh? Without price, without money. Everything is free. Even Jesus said, come unto me. Right?
Yes.
Salvation is free for you. But God already paid for it. Right? And yet today, the popish religion is still selling salvation. You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, you heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence of that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. Yes, once God destroys Mr. Babylon, he'll be gone forever. Got it? Yeah, how come he won't exist anymore? You see, and when we go into the millennium, you don't see it. There's no more there. It's all gone. And now it'll be resurrected. Is that right? Let's go to Jeremiah 51, 60 to 64. I like this just to let you see why the Bible used this kind of expression in verse 21 here in chapter 18. Eh? Jeremiah 51, 60 to 64. Here was a symbolic action of how God told Jeremiah to perform. Okay? So in Jeremiah 51, 60 to 64, so Jeremiah wrote in the book all the evil that should come upon Babylon, even all these words that were written against Babylon. And Jeremiah said to Sarah, when thou come to Babylon and shall see and read all these words, then shalt thou say, O Lord, thou hast spoken against this place, to cut it off, that none shall remain in it, neither man nor beast. But it shall be desolate forever. And it shall be when thou hast made an end of reading this book, that thou shalt bind a stone to it and cast it into the midst of the Euphrates. And thou shalt say, thus shall Babylon sink, and shall not rise from the evil that I'll bring upon her, and they shall be weary. Thus far are the words of Jeremiah. So Jeremiah, go for him, because this one on how I'm going to judge Babylon. Okay, write it down. And Jeremiah wrote it now and passed and give it to Sarai and told him, when you go to that place, read everything, then take a stone and tie it down and sing into the river Euphrates and say, this is the way God's going to be. You know, the way that, kind of strange, isn't it? Somebody have to perform something, to show the whole action. You know, I kind of like it, sometimes if I should come across a lot of brand of mine who challenge me, I'll take something and that's it. You know, how God showed the whole drama. Alright. Verse 22, 23, and the voice of the harpers, the musician, pipers, trumpeter, shall be heard no more at all in thee. No craftsman, or whatever craft he be, shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of the millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee. The voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchant were the great man of the earth, for by thy sorcery were all nations deceived. When Babylon, the ancient city of Babylon, was destroyed. You know, ancient Babylon is a place, big city. The people there were rich. They have a lot of fun. There are a lot of festivals. There's always dancing in the streets. There's always wedding. And there's always children playing around, rejoicing. There's always those buskers on the roadside. You know what the buskers are. They're a wonderful city. You know. But when Babylon was destroyed, what happened? Everything is quiet. No more music, no more fun, no more joy anymore. People there's only just willing, people willing from afar off. And this is what's going to happen to Mr. Babylon. Huh? There'll be no more, yeah, you know, the Catholic Church is always always projecting that they are always so happy, so joyful, you know. Isn't it true? Except on the Holy Week. Holy Week, everyone looks like making Jesus cry, you know. They have an idol make Jesus cry. Or Mary. That sort of thing. But otherwise, the Catholic Church always portray themselves very happy, joyous, glorious. Alright. Okay. Let's go on and finish off. And in the house was found the blood of prophets and of saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. Babylon is fallen. And this is going to happen soon. But I don't want to be around to see. I don't want to be around to sit on the television. Oh, look at what the city is on fire. I don't want to be around. Do you want to be around to see all this interesting thing coming to pass? Surely you don't want to be. We know it's coming to pass, but the most important thing that we want to see happen is when we finally hear the thunder's voice and our bodies change and they will be caught up with Christ in the air. That's why we are given this message. That's why, Brother Allen, you know how privileged you are? Right? How privileged every one of us here are to be able to have this message given to us and see it and separate from denominationalism and come back to the Word. But many who have heard it, they've gone into a cultic state. Making, you know, form another ism out of it. God forbid that we should, as Father Abraham said, this message cannot be denominated. It cannot be a denomination form out of this. It cannot be. But people are doing it. So let us keep ourselves in the Word of God and believe not every spirit, but judge them whether they be of God. All I have to do is go check the Word. Go check the Word. You hear something? Go check the Word. Don't believe what Brother Branham said. Don't believe what I said. Don't believe what anybody said just because they said it. Believe it is because when you look into the Bible, you say, that's what it is. That's there. I want to have this revelation. Huh? You need to have that revelation to know what is true. And the Lord bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we once again thank you for your grace. Your goodness, O Lord, to us and showing us, O Lord, that precious word of life and what's going to happen to this worldly system, O Lord. Father, we thank you for calling us out of the world of sin and calling us out from tradition, Lord, once upon a time when we were trapped in it. But we know, Lord, you will have a people for yourself, a people that is prepared and make ready as well for the coming of the Lord and Master. So, Father, we ask that you continue to walk in our life now. Every time we come across the word of truth and we receive it, we help us, O Lord, to put it in our heart that we are meditating on these things, Lord. And when there should be time when we are down and out and low in spirit, we ask that you bless, O Lord. And just help us to recall some of the wonderful things that you have done, Lord. And to know that, Lord, you are always with us. We commit all things to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.